Our present class, as you know, is on the Christianity and conflict theme, comparing and contrasting Catholicism and Protestantism, and a big subject. And our specific subject is on religious education. You should all have a one-page outline of that chapter. First, by way of introduction, it is crucially important for us to understand where Catholicism stands in relation to Protestantism by knowing as much as we can about religious education in our country. Because of the last analysis, people grow up on the basis of what they've learned. Our education from childhood determines our knowledge in adulthood. It is well to know that early Protestantism was oriented toward public schools. There were from the beginning, and there are now, religious schools that are not Catholic, notably the Lutherans. There are Baptist schools. There are Christian schools. There are evangelical. But from the very beginning, because remember, in Protestantism, there was almost an equation of church and state. As a Protestant mind understood the church is not a visible institution with visible, sensibly perceptible authority. The only real authority on earth is the authority of the state. And that has deep Old Testament foundations. In the Old Testament, there was no church, as we may say, distinct from the Jewish people. We speak of Judaism as Judaism before the time of Christ and the first century of the Christian era as a theocracy. We speak of our country as a democracy from the Greek word demos, which means people, person. A democracy is run by the people. A theocracy is run by theos, by God. Judaism, for 2,000 years, was a theocracy. And as I've said by now, maybe a dozen times, you don't begin to understand Protestantism unless you see it as essentially Old Testament Christianity. The Old Testament recognized the right to remarry and divorce, even polygamy. In Protestantism, as we know, divorce with the right to marry is simply part of their religion. Given that, dominance of the state in Protestant thinking, it is understandable that schools then would be run, well, by whom? by the state. And then the state would determine, well, what kind of philosophy was taught in the schools. Now watch this. Once you recognize the state as the only visible authority on earth, and that is Simon Pure, unadulterated Protestantism, then, as the country goes, as the state goes, so goes its quality of education. As a nation becomes less and less Christian, its public education will become necessarily less and less Christian. And as a nation becomes even positively de-Christianized, better still, paganized, what happens? Its system of public education becomes correspondingly paganized. The crisis in public education that, as we all know, the public schools are going through has occasioned many Protestants to rethink sending their children to public schools. That is why the larger number of homeschooling parents in the United States are Protestants. 2 million, I would say, would be a good figure. Protestants doing homeschooling. Then the corresponding crisis in Catholic education. And having my office now in an abandoned Dominican convent, this is brought home to me not just every day, but all day. I know I'm living in a convent. Abandoned by nuns who had taught for years the children at Assumption Grotto Parish. But as especially religious communities who are mainly behind our Catholic schools, as they secularized, what happened? Many simply left schools as the Superior General of, I will not identify the community, publicly declared, our sisters no longer want to be nursemaids to other people's children. So one community, the IHM's Mother House, I call it such, in Monroe, Michigan. 1 year, the then Superior General of the IHM's wrote to Cardinal Dearden with a list of the 31 parish schools. They informed the Cardinal, "We are leaving this year." He got the letter in early spring of that year. By the fall of that year, 31 Catholic schools, the archdiocese of Detroit, were empty. And over the years, most of my 25 years of working for the Holy See have been spent in somehow saving, retrieving what could still be saved of once dedicated religious communities. With that, of course, Catholic education collapsed. And Bishop told me the Holy Father wept in his own presence when he asked the bishop, "Whatever happened to your Catholic schools?" And the Pope knew. The Holy Father broke down in tears over the Catholic schools in America being wiped out because of, well, women are not going to be told by men how to run their lives. The feminist movement has destroyed the majority of our women's communities in America. Crisis is an understatement. Now, more specifically, American beginnings up to modern times. American education in 1776, when our nation was born, was Christian education. Schools were Christian. Secularization of education by the mid-1800s. Horace Mann. His name, I've never checked. I'll bet there must be 100 throughout the United States schools or educational buildings named Horace Mann. Horace Mann was the evil genius who began to, well, de-Christianize public education. Constant adoption of public schools. And as we've said before, this was simply consistent with their ecclesiology. Now, the factors behind the secularization of public schools. While the country was still young and small, and the people who came here, Protestants in the majority, were, well, strongly believing Christians. Well, schools, even public schools, were very religious. However, as the number of Protestants increased and their divisions increased proportionally. And let me tell you, most Catholics don't realize how deeply, would you please close the door? Most Catholics do not realize how deeply divisive are the Protestant churches. Between, say, Lutherans, even among the Lutherans. I taught for 7 years at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. And one reason I'm sure why I was teaching there is because the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago belongs to the most liberal branch of Lutheranism in the United States. They were so liberal, they even hired a Catholic priest to teach on their faculty. That's pretty liberal. I would never be hired by the Concordia Synod. Divided on everything, but hear it. The single most divisive factor in Protestantism is the Eucharist. Already in the year 1600, St. Robert Bellarmine counted 200 interpretations of Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood," among the Protestant denominations. By now the number is countless. The obvious result then, if they're still going to hold on to public schools, what religion are they going to teach? You follow the logic. As their own denomination became so different and divisive, the amount of religion they could teach and agree on became less and less, until finally, as we know, our Supreme Court, even, God have mercy on the courts of, on our judges in the Supreme Court. Anyone who thinks we are a democracy does not even know how to spell the word. America is not a democracy. America is an autocracy. It is a totalitarian society. And those who are running the government of the United States are our judges, mainly the judges of the Supreme Court. They are running our nation. You retire all your congressmen, send them back home, put them on vacation. It's the Supreme Court. And one of the many divisions and decisions of the Supreme Court has been to lessen and lessen to the vanishing point any semblance of religion in public schools. Agnosticism among political leaders, again a contributing factor. Substitution of democracy for religion. In other words, the vote of the people depends, or better, the vote of the people determines on what the children are going to be taught in school. Protestant stress on statism, which we've talked about. Once you recognize the only visible authority on earth as the state, I repeat, this should be burnt into our memories, etched in bronze. Those who understand Protestantism know exactly what they're doing. When Christ said, remember, when he was asked whether it is all right to pay tribute to Caesar, can you pay your taxes? Well, they were trying to trap our Lord. He said, no, you may not pay your taxes. Well, the Jewish high priest would get him. He would say, pay your taxes. Pardon me. Say, pay your taxes. Then the Jews would get after Christ. Don't pay your taxes. Then the state authority would get after Christ. So what did Jesus say? Let me see a coin. Whose image is it? Caesar's. Then give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. What are we doing in the United States? We are giving to Caesar what belongs to God. Am I clear? Who alone has the right over what our children should be taught? Who? Ultimately God. And the parents who believe there is a God and want their children brought up in the knowledge and love of God. And then number five, children are being taught secularism by default and also by design. This was in the in Detroit. one of my former students at Western Michigan University. She majored in biology, graduated. I see her every once in a while. She's, of course, older now than when I taught her in 1967. I don't have to ask how old she is. She knows I know. But she was teaching maybe 2 years in one of the public schools of Detroit. Came to see me in Kalamazoo when I was there. And she said, "Father, there's really something. In the school where I teach, we women teachers are never allowed to leave the classroom without a police escort." Never. And this is about 2 years ago. I was taking a TWA flight, I think, to the West Coast. And I don't normally read, but this time I thought I'd page through the TWA magazine, you know, the monthly magazine that airlines have. And there was a report on the number of murders committed in public schools in the previous year, mostly the murder of teachers. 150 murders, mostly of teachers, in public schools in 1 year. So, children being taught secularism and the obvious consequences follow. Now, religion and public education, awareness of the need for religious values, of course, as our nation becomes more and more secularized, more and more de-Christianized, the number of those who still appreciate religious or moral values will, of course, keep diminishing. But I think I told you, for 5 years, I work with the American Council on Education, representing the American bishops, to introduce some moral and spiritual values into our public schools in the nation. 5 years of meetings, all kinds of money spent, publicity, discussion. In our final meeting at Columbia University in New York, we thought we had everything under control. We didn't realize, among the 60 delegates at that closing meeting of the American Association, American AC, there were enough of those 60 delegates to outvote those of us who wanted some moral and spiritual values. After 5 years, they won. Nothing moral, nothing spiritual, nothing religious to be taught in public schools. The rise of Catholic schools, and this, as I said, only God knows who was all behind the breakdown of our religious communities, especially of teaching sisters. But I know some, and they were men. They were priests. Some I knew well. And the priests themselves, having lost their faith, had proceeded to indoctrinate religious women, like, for example, first class C at Catholic University in the 60s. The dean of the School of Education, Catholic University, with some 2,000 sisters going to school then at Catholic University to get their degrees. The dean of the school spoke in the auditorium of Catholic University and saw all these sisters, everyone, in a religious habit. He opened his talk by saying, "When are you women going to grow up?" When are you going to take off those clown costumes? Stop living in the Middle Ages. Then he gave his usual dean's lecture for the year. Catholic schools, as the Pope told my bishop friend when the Holy Father wept in saying it, your Catholic schools with the envy of the rest of the Catholic world, flourishing, well attended, disciplined, parents felt safe. We know what happened. Less than 5 years, most of our Catholic schools in the nation are closed. Critical issue, religious disunity forges political disunity. And this is why, by the way, Catholic priests are being persecuted by the government as never before in our more than 2 centuries of history. I know how much I know. The charges of misconduct, 20, 30 years later, paid good money to testify against priests. And of course, part of the problem, we know, is that so many priests themselves have not been properly educated in their own Catholic faith. All I can tell you, I wouldn't dare in my right mind be talking this way, not just now, but during these classes, except for working for the Holy See. The rise of Protestant schools, and by the way, they are growing, in case you haven't heard. I touched on home education, and by the way, I prefer, and the national association that I was involved in helping to organize, the National Association of Catholic Home Education, NACHE, National Association of Catholic Home Education. I recommend to parents to rather call it home education than home school education, or than homeschooling, home education. The word school has legal connotations. And Michigan, by the way, is, from my reports, the least sympathetic to homeschooling of all the 50 states in our union. This past Monday, I received a call from Boston. Would I please be on a radio broadcast? I'd be interviewed. I'd stay in Detroit, but over the telephone. And I said, well, I'm interested. Could you please send me, well, what kind of questions you'd want me to address? So they sent me 2 pages of questions. It was on homeschooling. I received those questions. I took the questions to chapel, read them over, prayed over them, and called back Boston. But unfortunately, the one who had asked me to speak was not at the telephone, just his answering system. So I gave my little talk over the telephone. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I have decided it would be wiser for me not to be on this program to discuss home schooling or home education. The man who called me never got my message. 15 minutes before broadcasting time, I get a call from Boston. So then I repeated what I said. He urged, he pleaded, and he didn't tell me before, but I asked him, where are you located? Oh, we are recorded. We are located as part of the Boston Chancery. And among the questions was, what do you think? Do you think it's unjust for the bishop in the diocese to tell homeschooling parents, sorry, my dear parents, unless your children receive instruction from our catechetical program, they cannot be given their first confession or first communion or confirmation? What do you think of that? Was among the questions I was to answer. We're talking about education, and we're comparing Catholicism and Protestantism. I repeat, my figures are around 2 million Protestants that are homeschooling their children. Catholics have had, over the years, thank God, their Catholic school system. But now, as we so well know, they're just a handful, comparatively speaking, of Catholic schools left. And even in so many nominally Catholic schools, some of the teaching, what a safe statement, is not always very Catholic. I'm being so cautious. By the way, I'm still recommending that you subscribe to the Catholic Faith magazine. And in the next issue, should be out by the end of November, I have an article on sex education in Catholic schools. Pray for Father Hardin. And the bottom line is that someone still has the unqualified, unambiguous, undisguised Catholic faith to protect, especially the young who are the church of the future. Now, the partisan attitude toward Catholic schools, first of all, there had been opposition from two sides, from both partisan fundamentalists and secularists. And one court case after another involving Catholic schools came not only from the unbelievers, but from the strongly believing Protestants, for whom, as you know, the Pope is, well, all kinds of bad names. This opposition has been remarkably successful. And the breakdown of Catholic schools began with the breakdown of Catholic religious teaching communities. Growth in homeschooling among both Protestants and Catholics. But the future only God knows. And the reason that I gave you earlier is that homeschooling, as it's popularly called, is a threat. Threat to public schools, but there, the Protestants, not having, in most cases, established religious schools of their own, there's not the same pressure as there is among Catholics. Because for Catholics to do homeschooling, what does that mean? It means that the established catechetical program in a given diocese is being openly challenged. Why should parents say, teach their children at home if there are good Catholic schools to which they can send their children? And, of course, then Catholics are caught in a serious dilemma. Can they risk not having their children make their first confession, first communion, and confirmation if they don't go to a catechetical program that is sponsored and authorized by a diocese? I think I told you about the bishop that I called up in Texas. Remember? Where the parents, I was giving a retreat in Texas, and parents came to see me and told me, and they brought their daughter with them, 15 years old, going on 16, and not yet been confirmed. And the reason was because the diocese would not confirm any children that have not finished in a catechetical program run by the diocese. So I talked to the girl, homeschooled by her parents, knew her faith well. So what diocese did it belong to? She said Fort Worth. I looked it up in the directory. I was not in the Fort Worth Diocese, so I called up this other diocese and said, I'm Father Hart, and I'd like to talk to the bishop. Well, the bishop was not in, so I talked to the chancellor. I'm Father Hart, I'm giving a retreat here in Texas. There's a girl, a wonderful girl, who's not been confirmed because her parents are homeschooling. Is that the policy of the diocese? Not to confirm children that are homeschooled. Yes, it's the policy. Well, would you please ask the bishop to to give me the faculties to confirm this girl. See, I can get the faculties to confirm the girl. Because I said, if the bishop gives me the faculties, I will tell my superiors of the Vatican, there's a wonderful bishop in Texas who confirms the children in his diocese who are homeschooled. Oh, by all means, by all means. So I've got one confirmation to my record. Youth in homeschooling, and this pray, by the way, pray especially for bishops. And again, one of my jobs, pray for bishops. Four factors affecting the future. The two main factors affecting religious education, both among Protestants and among Catholics. There are many other factors, but two especially. The widespread sex education. I was asked by the Holy See to evaluate one of the most popular sex education programs in the country, used in many Catholic schools. Spent several months studying all the books, everything that I could get my hands on, bought everything, and sent my report to Rome. I got a wonderful letter of congratulations and gratitude from the Holy Father's secretary. Holy Father is very pleased with what you're doing. But then I tried to release my report to Catholic publications in the United States. Not one publication would do it. They were afraid. And then family breakdown. And of course, the more de-Christianized our nation becomes, the more family life will disappear. As I've told so many audiences, the family, as we understand family, one father, one mother, and children living together, and that was brought into the world by Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? The word familia in Latin, which we got our word family, was of course known among the ancient Romans. Familia. Well, there was no family life in existence until Christ came into the world. It's a law of human history. As a nation becomes de-Christianized, the family gradually, but as sure as night follows day, the family weakens and disappears. And of course, to put it mildly, education is deeply affected. As again, one teacher after another has told me that my hardest job in teaching is not teaching my subject, is to have myself even heard over the noise of the students talking, chattering, doing everything else, but paying attention to what I am teaching. And one teacher in a public school and in Detroit was fired because She insisted on her students keeping quiet during class. She was fired. But discipline, which is the essence of teaching, depends, of course, on some discipline being in the home. And finally, the positive hopes. The pro-life movement, and this I tell people, I think is God's way of waking us up. The massive murder of millions of unborn children, and now, of course, infanticide. The widespread murder of the aged. And as you know, Michigan is a leader.